Good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling it to order, so roll call.
She's calling.
Roberts. Commissioner Maurice Roberts.
Thank you.
Is the guy on the camera? He used to be my landlord.
Kathy Alton.
Present.
Manon Gatsby.
Here.
Becky Cotero.
Present.
Okay.
I think you all read your minutes. Do I have a motion to approve our minutes from June 24th?
I'll motion that.
I'll second it.
Approved.
Aye.
Maurice, thank you. Call to audience. We have 10 minutes. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law. Individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. We have Nancy Graham.
Yeah.
You may speak.
Oh, I'm missing it now?
Okay.
They'll get him.
Yes. You want me to stand right here? I'm behind some people.
Oh, over there. However, whatever you're more comfortable with.
There you go. It's always different.
If you need to sit, you can also sit.
No, I don't need to sit.
I'm here. I use the Edith Ball Pool. I'm one of the seniors. I have had an aortic dissection like Lindsey Graham. And I'm still alive. I've had open heart surgery. I have arthritis. So I was really grateful for the Edith Ball Pool and for the people who run it. The price of our aquatic fitness classes are going to skyrocket by 75%. Of course, you know, in just 3 years. And I looked at Tucson's exact economic peers, cities like Albuquerque, New Mexico, Fresno, California, and El Paso, Texas, that share our population size, median household income, and tax base. And it's not the norm across the country to try to cover expenses with participants' fees. Albuquerque shares our exact population profile, yet they offer a 10-class water aerobics punch pass for $28. El Paso shares our median income realities, yet they charge a flat, stable drop-in fee of $2 to $4 for senior aquatic exercise classes. Fresno charges $3 drop-in fees for classes. Albuquerque and El Paso both protect seniors up front by offering discounts based strictly on age. No questions asked. Tucson forces older adults through a bureaucratic paperwork application to prove they live below the federal poverty level. This completely leaves behind the vast population of modest fixed-income seniors who sit just slightly above the poverty line but simply cannot absorb a 75% pricing escalation in their healthcare routines, especially now. Water aerobics is a medical necessity for older adults managing arthritis, joint replacements, cardiovascular recovery. Forcing seniors into a compounding financial escalator without consideration for their fixed incomes risks pricing them out of the very facilities their tax dollars built.
Bruce Ewer?
Good afternoon. I'm sure all of you will be able to hear me. That's what everybody tells me anyway. I go to Edith Ball Pool, and I've been going for 20 years to the therapy pool. If I hadn't had it, I wouldn't be walking right now. I've had 9 back surgeries. There are so many people at that pool who have had a crippling disease or, you know, just multiple things. Arthritis. Oh, my God, arthritis. You guys are probably getting it by now. Anyway, all of that is just, we just beg you guys, just make it better for us. We were at the pool this morning. I'm a little tired after our exercises, but after being in the pool, chlorine, you want to rinse off, wash everything so you feel good. Well, for the last week and a half, we've had cold showers in the locker room. And they tell us that they keep telling maintenance, but nothing happens. So if you have any influence in that, please jump in. And I want to cover the instructions for our people who come in and try to get us all to shut up and work. I've had so many lifeguards take over as instructors, and probably 25% of them have been wonderful. I mean, wonderful. And then you have the other side, like we had a one-time lady where we're using the paddles, and he's up there just acting like he's bringing an airplane in or something with no exercises for us. Just we're in the water, and he's just waving around. That's not instruction. I understand that there's a class coming up in August for instructors. We've got to have better instruction. We need our instructors to know what they're supposed to be if they're doing. If it's arthritis, you work all your joints. It's a little slower. You do fibromyalgia and you start really working it, trying to get the core and muscular going, among other things, you know, aquilates, all that. They don't know. They're doing the same exercises for every class. So they need to be told how to do the job they're being hired to do. So again, we're relying on you guys to take the info back and help us out a little bit. I have copies here of my presentation, and I'm not following it, I know. But I think that's about it, except the discount, which Nancy covered a little bit. A few years ago, a friend of mine got a discount. And she thought, oh, great, you know, I've got this discount, so from now on I'll have a discount. No, they give it to her for one class only. We were told when we had the big meeting over there at Edith Ball, we were told they were looking at some kind of discount, and I don't know what's happened with that. We have not heard anything. But she went back over to registration and was told that the two classes she wants to take, there's no kids, they don't qualify for a discount. That's not fair. That's not fair. If you can get a discount for throwing shoes over here and you can't get one for picking them up over here, that's not fair. So that's all I'm trying to do is let you know what we think's going on. And I thank you very much. Who do I give this to?
I can take them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, guys.
Susan Knight.
I'm just going to sit because I shake a little. I, too, have been using Edith Ball for 25-plus years. I used to work my university teaching schedule around it. I've been dislocating my knees because of a genetic abnormality since I was 12. I've had numerous surgeries, including two knee replacements, and now I have severe osteoarthritis and extra bones in my feet, one of which goes right through the peroneal tendon. It's very painful. And I'm so appreciative and I have a pool and some really wonderful people who have worked there over the years. But and currently I've had good interaction with people. But the price is going up, and most of us there are on a fixed income. And I think there's a frustration among pool users that if we're paying more, we should get what we're paying for. We were disappointed to see on July 10th when Edith Falls Aquatics listings went live online. And my understanding is they've now changed since they went online. And that's really difficult that we went online on the 10th and now we're supposed to register at 8 and punto on Saturday. And the classes have changed. So those of us who did our homework may be surprised at 8 o'clock. And you may know if you are not online at 8 o'clock, by 8:05, you're not going to get your classes. That's how popular these classes are and how necessary they are to stay mobile. We were disappointed to see on July 10th when Edith Falls Aquatics listings went live, classes were not lengthened beyond the COVID era cut of 45 minutes each. Some of us are now concerned that now that the higher fees have been approved by mayor and council, our concerns will again be ignored on a regular basis. Aquatics class participants are being expected to pay considerably more money, yet classes continue to be 3 points. One, too short. Classes were shortened from 1 full hour to 45 minutes when pools reopened after COVID, ostensibly to sterilize ladders and tables between classes. The sterilization stopped years ago, but classes were never returned to the original time. Mrs. Laura Hemway said she could change the class duration to 50 minutes. We asked for a compromise of 55 if the department won't restore to a full hour. Aquatic therapy classes posted July 10th for fall are all listed at 45 minutes. And I've spoken to this commission before about how it's really impossible to get a decent workout in 45 minutes when you consider the first 10 minutes is warm up and the last 5 minutes is stretching. Doesn't leave a lot of time for working muscle groups and doing any cardio at all. Number two, too often they are taught by ill-suited instructors. And I hate to bring this one up because I think Paul Hillman does an incredible job and tries to be very responsive to our issues. But at Edith Ball this summer, Ruth said that 15-year-old who waved his arms taught once. Actually, in another class that I take, he taught 8 classes over 4 weeks. And they were, but worthless. It's a 15-year-old boy in 11 a.m. Tuesday, Thursday, not equipped to teach the very basics of classes called arthritis and fibromyalgia. Paul Hillman was aware and responsive to us and shared our concern. But with hands apparently tied, he was only able to rectify the situation halfway through the session by hiring specialists from other pools to come back to Edith Ball to teach on top of their other duties running pools elsewhere in the city. There's talk of two experienced, excellent teachers, George and Jay, doing more concerted training and modeling for new instructors this fall. We're glad to see that and hope that there's actual follow-through. So often we're promised things at Edith Ball and nothing happens. Finally, one issue that we haven't talked about much here, but you'll be hearing about it, is the pool is too chilly to be called a therapy pool. The City of Tucson webpage advertises the therapy pool is at 92 degrees. That pool hasn't been that warm in years. There's a gentleman named Dave in the open swim in the afternoon who wears a watch after he was told he wasn't allowed to bring a thermometer after the pool stopped posting the daily temperature, just quit rather than deal with the issue. And it's been 89 or 90 degrees daily. And I don't know if he keeps track of that, but he keeps track of that in his head. Professional associations of physical therapists, orthopedic physicians, aquatic therapy specialists, and the Arthritis Foundation recommend a therapy pool be kept at 92 to 96 degrees. And we made the argument at one time that you needed to quit calling the new pool. I forget where it is. I think it starts with an M. It's not a therapy pool, and I think the city has quit calling it that. It has some adaptive entrance. An adaptive assistance things, but it's not a therapy pool. Bottom line, we will be paying considerably more incrementally over the next 4 years, and we expect classes to be well taught in a pool that is adequately warmed for therapy and of worthwhile duration, 1 hour or 55 minutes. On a personal note, I never received an email regarding Laura, who you had worked with already on Silver Sneakers or outside.
We're still trying to do it.
You were going to send me an email of who you'd already talked to.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I never got it. I've decided that it's not my role. It's the role of Parks and Rec, and I'd rather be an advocate than part of the problem. Or I feel like advocacy will help be part of the solution more than me trying to do things on a volunteer level at an administrative job. So thank you very much. I also have copies, and I think the other ladies brought copies too.
Same information?
Mine is pretty much the same. I think some of the other ones are different.
Yeah.
Diane will figure it out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for allowing me to go over time.
There's one more. Can you call?
Thank you for everything that you guys do. I'm sure this is a lot of work.
Thank you.
Nice to see you all.
Kimiko, Washington.
Are you going to stay?
My name is Kimiko Washington. I am the mother of Ocean Washington, who was shot and killed at Richmond Park in October 2021. And I'm here to strongly urge this commission to place the naming of Mission Manor Aquatic Center on the next meeting agenda with the recommendation that it be named after Ocean. Ocean was an innocent victim who lost his life at that park right in front of where Mission Manor Aquatic Center is built. Naming the Aquatic Center not only would memorialize his life, but would also stand as a tribute to all the victims of gun violence in Tucson, especially Daniel Arriaga, James Sanchez, Cameron Foster, and Joshua Mariscal, whose lives were all taken by guns in our parks. These are places for our children to play, for families and community gatherings. These are all innocent lives that were taken in spaces that represent joy and protection. And I'm here advocating for the naming of the Aquatic Center to be named after Ocean. And I'm not just asking for this to just be a naming to honor a tragedy, because it's more than, the story is more than his death. I'm asking to name this Aquatic Center after Ocean to invest in the future and the healing of the city of Tucson. And I put in a formal proposal to the city along with a petition, which I have 740 signatures in the support of this naming. I'm asking for acknowledgement, for remembrance, for leadership that sees and honors the real human cost of violence in our community. I've left my email on certain things, and I have not received anything back from any of the board members. And if you could please let me know an upcoming meeting agenda that this could be appended to, and what other materials you require. Also, another note, the sign at Grijalva Park that is in memory of Christina Taylor Green, who was shot and killed January 8th, 2011, is faded so much that you can't make out her name. And I'm asking that the city replace it with a fresh sign showing her name. Please don't let her name fade, and please don't let Ocean's name fade. This is that. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy Olson?
All right.
Well, I think Nancy and Ruth and Susan said most of what I'm here for, but I would like to add that I know people who are going to register Saturday and they have everything written down. And all of a sudden today, it's a whole new schedule. So what can I say about that? It seems as though we just have one arthritis class now. And someone's not going to be happy because we are not allowed to take fibromyalgia right after arthritis, Ruth. So you cannot take a 10 and 11 to help open it up for people who might miss their chance, which is good. But the arthritis is the only class that's stayed at, it was $25 for the 22 years I've been coming here because it was supported by the Arthritis Foundation. Well, somewhere in the 22 years, the support was lost. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it was just someone didn't follow up. But fortunately, the class still remains at 25. Well, as of this sign up, it's 29. But that's a nice price for a lot of classes. The others are 50. So if I would like to sign up for two sessions, I have to pay about $260 all in one sitting for two sessions. And so I think that that's leading me to my other point about trying to find some source of help for people who are really on low income and can't afford almost $300 twice a year. When you break it down, maybe it's $5, $6 a class, which sounds good. I mean, I just looked at Zumba, and that was $169 or $200 for 8 weeks. I couldn't believe it. So when I started, there was a program that was, according to even how you pay your water bill, it was the federal guidelines, and you could sign up for a discount with the pool classes, which many people did at that time. Well, that also went away. So I'm here pleading for someone to please follow up with looking into some sort of relief people who really need it can have. And the rest of it is just to thank you for the opportunity of putting our sore, sick bodies in a good place and having the social aspect of it, which is priceless because we've made some long, enduring friendships, and it's a happy place, unless we're aggravated with the instructor. Oh, sorry to say, but thank you for everything.
Thank you.
You should all come to a class.
Yeah, you're all invited to come swim with us.
Or at least watch.
Okay, we're done.
Thank you.
Sorry. I forget to restart it or something.
Okay. The next is 15 minutes for safe environment parks discussion.
Yep. So that's me. Wait. Here?
Yep.
Okay. And how do I? Okay. Got it. Okay. Maurice, can you confirm you can see the screen, the presentation? Just making sure you, I was just making sure you can see the presentation, not the room.
The building welcoming safe and vibrant city parks. Can you read that? PowerPoint.
On your Zoom. Can you see the PowerPoint?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay. Just making sure.
This is the new schedule.
Okay. So, recently there was, an initiative at the end of June, first week of July, where we did a couple engagement meetings around specific parks, trying to work with all of our partners, so PPD, homeless outreach, city manager's office, honestly trying to get folks that are working out there in the parks to provide assistance to those that are in our parks, to talk through some of these particular locations. And these locations have been highlighted just because we've been hearing more concerns around homelessness in them and the impacts to the park itself. So we wanted to also talk about not just how do we partner, but also what is going on or what's being invested in each of these locations currently and activation efforts that are happening. And so we're going to I'm going to run through this presentation with you all real quick and then kind of land it also in what I don't think a lot of people do have a lot of awareness on is what the evidence or what the collaboration looks like between the different city partners. So Estevan Park, it's close. It's just south of Speedway and Main, pretty much. And interesting fact about Estevan is that I'm just going to try and reduce it a little bit. Is that it's been a rugby park for going on 40 years. When I did some research on it, rugby was just starting to really blow up in Tucson, and University of Arizona was the only location that you could really play. And they reached out to Tucson Parks and Rec at that time and asked about taking what was an underutilized baseball field and turning it into a rugby field. And since that time, it really has been pretty central and considered a rugby park. We recently, well, not recently anymore, I guess now, May 9th, we went and did an engagement. We asked all the different rugby clubs that we have known that have either formally used this park or currently are using this park and would like to come back and use it more robustly to work with us on doing what was called the Rugby Rodeo, an idea of being able to introduce the sport to all ages, to bring these groups together and really start collecting ideas of future investment for the park itself that they felt were needed. Right now, there's a basketball court there that is scheduled for resurfacing through 407. There's benches, a fountain. The playground is currently closed. It was vandalized about 2 years ago, and a lot of this engagement is going to help us figure out what the forward momentum for that playground will be. Restroom, the rugby field, and sports field lights, which went in with Prop 407. So what you see here in these photos, these are boards that we had, plus on the table we had a map of the park. And anybody who came over, we would just ask, what's your ideas, what's needed? And then not only what's needed, but where would you like to see it? So we could really hear directly from the users. And as a result of this data collection, we recently applied for a pretty significant grant to the Tahana Atom Gaming Dollars to provide some very specific investments that will help sustain and support rugby operations, including potentially a concession stand, shade for spectators, shade for players, a ninja course. So we're excited about seeing that happen. There's an old mural there. We've done research. That mural is actually not registered with the Arts Foundation or anywhere, so we think we've got the ability to give them permission to restore it, but it is on a wall that is privately owned, so we'll have to navigate getting the owner's approval to update. And then we're also talking to Storm to Shade about doing a potential walking path with GSI improvements adjacent to the walking path in the park. Talking about reaching out to futsal, which is like small-sided soccer, to see if they might be interested in partnering with us to convert the basketball court to that type of sport, which then would be another audience that we could bring in. And then dig deep. They are in a building that's adjacent to the park, and they've expressed interest when the rugby groups are not there to potentially use the field for training athletes. So all of this is with the mindset of really putting a lot of positive activity within the park itself. And then we're working with TPD. They have this park on a frequent visit and site connection as part of their normal routine.
Is this the one up by downtown Pima College campus?
It's close. So both Esteban and Anza are close. Anza's the one that's catty corner to Pima College. Okay.
Next to the feeding center, right?
The Salvation Army is Esteban, yeah, across from there.
Okay.
So Ansel Park is, you see that one on Speedway and Stone, has a drinking fountain, Ramada, restrooms, picnic tables, playground. The biggest activity here is sand volleyball, especially in the fall. In the winter months, you see it very active. And a dog park, I can't remember the age of the dog park, about 3 years.
Yeah, it's open until by 2021.
It was after I joined. So after 21. Anyway, but what's nice about the dog park is the neighborhood also invested in adding shade there. This is a location that we, in the fall, know we plan to do some active engagement of the volleyball users. So the vice mayor, this is a Ward 1 park, and the vice mayor said, let's do a volleyball rodeo. So I got to figure out how that's going to look. But it's definitely a location of concern. TPD is actively on-site policing here, and we want to try to improve those conditions.
Does that one have bathrooms?
It does have a bathroom. It's on the corner. It's on Stone, yeah, on the southwestern, yeah, southwestern side. Francisco Elias Esquerra Park, currently it's under construction. That's just about to wrap up, and we're going to have a celebration of all the investments there on August 7th. It's received a $1.4 million layered funding. So what that means, it got Proposition 407 funding, community development block grant dollars, as well as city framework dollars, which is allowing to put a bridge because that park is separated by a wash.
Where is that park?
So S Park is right adjacent to Tucson House.
Okay.
Behind it.
And yeah, kind of behind it. And the current park has a playground. That's what you see in the photo, a basketball half court, benches, drinking fountain, grills, picnic tables, and ramadas. And the new investment is the bridge, a dog park, a walking path. And what we really like about the investment is that it really coincides with one of the 9 action activities that came out of the Thrive in the 05 transformation plan that was identified by residents. So what we're delivering here, we anticipate Barrio Moon, which is the neighborhood that's most adjacent, and the Tucson House folks are really going to enjoy it. What was really cute at the groundbreaking that we did, one of the Tucson House residents came with his dog. She got to participate in the actual groundbreaking. And when we threw the dirt, she jumped up. She wanted to get the dirt. So, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about having this because a lot of Tucson House residents have animals.
Yes.
So giving them a space where they can have that connection, especially now that it's under construction, which is tough because they're living in a kind of an awkward space right now.
It's right there.
And it's, yeah, it's right there. And there is a community garden as well. But I don't know who manages that community garden.
Tucson House, isn't it?
So Armory Park, Maurice was boogieing down at our grand opening on July 2nd for the investments there. But recently $1.71 million in renovation, which included this, you see this shelter pavilion, included that, benches, picnic tables, a dog park, which we're going to officially open next Friday with a little yappy hour, and lighting, improvements to the restroom, irrigation, sidewalk updates, and a lot of that upgrades. That was mostly informed through community input. Armory Park has a strong historical value, so we had to make sure that this design and the improvements really did match what they wanted. And this is the only park that we were looking at and talking through about activation that also happens to have a center, a senior center on site. Monday through Friday, it is on a congregate senior meal program. And we provide a lot of recreation wraparound services there for the seniors as well. But right now, this location and then also with Santa Rita, we're trying to get connections within the community to activate the outdoor space, keep it vibrant. It's part of the reason we're doing the little event around the dog park opening, just to really draw in the residents. It will be the first dog park in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be the next closest, really, for downtown residents.
That's in Ward 6, right?
And that's in Ward 6. And Iron, that's right, Iron Horse. Go ahead, Maurice.
Okay, I just wanted to interject by saying that the grand reopening of Armory Park was a huge success. Okay, the whole community was very, very grateful, and it's turning out to be beautiful. Okay, so kudos to Parks and Recs, kudos to everybody that was involved into it. Again, like I said, this was huge, and it's turning out into something really, really nice. I figured I'd put in my two words there. Go ahead, Ann.
Gene C. Reed, so throughout all the investment to come to the park, $5.2 million, multiple projects. Some of the projects have already completed. Some are going to be happening this year. That includes restrooms, ramadas, playgrounds. I believe the playground's already done. That was remembering. We've got a new splash pad that's coming, and then also renovation to the Georges de Meester Outdoor Performance Center. We've got some investment and renovation for Edith Ball, and then also we did some investment already at the Therapeutic Recreation Center adjacent to us. But Reed Park itself is huge, right? It's got everything from baseball fields, high corbett, benches, bike racks, dog park, rose garden, ponds, playgrounds. And plus we know that it's adjacent to Reed Park Zoo and the Randolph Complex. And this is the park that I'll land on with some of the recent activity that's been happening in partnership with our PACE program, TPD, and homeless outreach. And then Santa Rita Park, I'm trying to get this aligned right. So currently still under construction, $8.4 million in investment. And that's a combination of Tucson Delivers, Prop 407 framework. We got Tahana Atom Nation Gaming Grant money plus impact fees. Very small portion of this park will be original by the time it opens, which I think is so cool. So you're going to have a new splash pad and playground with shade structures, which you see the playground here, 300 new trees and shrubs, new walking path, plaza space that can facilitate special events, two new multi-purpose fields, new parking lot, new restroom, new irrigation system. And what's here, the focal point of this picture, is a public art mosaic that was done through the Arts Foundation, and some of the tiles were made by the Drachman and Borton students. So a lot of energy in going into trying to activate this space when it does open. The council member is a really strong advocate for this one, and there is a friends group that has been established in support of it. And so they're looking to activate it, and our sports unit has also been really encouraging sports user groups to commit to using the different sports fields. We've got TPD that is committing to the first 90 days of being very present at the park. The residents have a lot of nervousness about what's going to happen when it opens. And so we're all going to be leaning in to help keep it active and what they envision and what we hope will be a destination for a lot of people.
What's the approximate opening date?
Don't know yet, because there's a piece of the electrical system that is been delayed. We're hoping August 7th it'll be shipped, and then we'll be able to lock in the date.
Oh, so soon.
So okay. September, October time period.
Figuring out.
And then you all know, but we made sure that we wanted to make sure people know that Tucson Clean and Beautiful is a way for folks to adopt a park, get involved at a park, that they'll facilitate the bags, the pickers, they'll pick up the trash. And then after 6 months, you can have it designated, you know, that you've adopted it. And then our PACE program, you guys, we brought Danny, our PACE supervisor here last month. Really trying to promote and educate folks on what is PACE. PACE is really the way that all of our homeless protocol reports that are submitted online or via phone come in. And then the team goes out to respond to what they've heard. Could be homeless within the park. They verify and validate what actually is present. And then they liaison with homeless outreach and resource partners if someone is asking for assistance. Sometimes they'll do a cleanup themselves, or they'll work with environmental services if it's a large cleanup that needs to happen. They collect data on park conditions, and then they also, they're not there yet. They've touched on it a little bit, but the plan is also to liaison with neighborhood associations and friends groups. If they want to organize and do activities themselves within a park, then Danny and her team will be able to support that. But the idea here is to focus on engagement, park safety, and resources available to keep our parks active and vibrant. So I just wanted to highlight for one particular park, like I said, Reed, you know, we our ongoing in a collaborative effort with TPD on aligning resources and collaborating with them on some things that they're seeing through their data, and then what PACE, the PACE team might be seeing and help that might be needed. They also, Danny also works closely with the community safety, health, and wellness team, which is where a lot of our outreach coordinators, encampment assessors reside. And there is also within the city a multi-agency resource coordinator. So he actually works for the city and the county, and his name is Justin, and his title is known as Mark. So we engage all of them depending on what's going on within a park. So, for example, with Reed, we're trying to do or stand up some sort of more broad neighborhood, because there's 11 different neighborhoods that intersect with Reed Park. Trying to figure out how to do a communication tool that really says, hey, this is really what's happening, because we've heard concerns that Reed's not safe or nothing is happening. So TPD has 4 community safety officers assigned to Reed Park that are supposed to be here daily. And they're doing check-ins, proactive engagement. They're addressing quality of life concerns. And if there's something that concerns them, they're supposed to elevate that to their lieutenant or captain. They recently did a planned deployment on July 14th, which on social media, they did promote it. And I did snip it a little bit. But they had their neighborhood crime section here, Zebra Unit, CORE. CORE does a lot of homeless engagement. They have a lot of alignment with the mental health unit within TPD. And then got City Court to also be engaged. And City Court is now doing virtual court appointments to help with some referral to help direct people away from potentially charges. Based on what they reported out, 22 people were contacted here at Reed. 1 firearm was seized. Various amounts of drugs were seized. 18 individuals processed through their virtual court process, and 9 individuals declined services. So this is just a sample of one thing that they'll do, and so they'll be working with Danny to assess when maybe they need to do a second deployment. And then outreach through Justin and his resources, what he's confirmed is there's about 8 to 10 hours of external partners that are coming to Reed every week to offer services. So Mondays and Wednesdays, City of Tucson has assigned 2 hours each day. Mondays and Thursdays, Primavera Outreach, 2 hours each day. And then every other Wednesday morning, community outreach partners, approximately 2 hours. And he personally is coming to the park twice a week at night to see if we are still tracking an overnight usage of the park. And a lot of the resource partners that he's bringing in for those Wednesday engagements can be Old Pueblo Community Services, Primavera, La Frontera, El Rio, Community Bridges, Housing First, Kodak, and Hope. It just depends on who's available that day or who's working together. Sometimes they come in as a group. So this is part of our attempt, like I said, with the city manager's office and our other partners within the city, to try to look at some of these locations and figure out what we can do to make things better, make the park feel safer, and also then do activation. For Armory and Santa Rita, we're doing some public outreach to find partners to do a yoga class, to stand up a walking club, to, you know, try an event out. And with that, the fees for doing an event or getting a permit to run a program in those 2 parks for the next year, once Santa Rita's open, will be waived. So fees wouldn't be a barrier to them activating the park. Any questions?
Yes, I have a quick question. Could we apply Mark to Armory Park and Santa Rita in addition to whatever you just mentioned on a limited basis as compared to Reed Park, obviously, because the size is not the same. But I think expanding the Mark experience to Santa Rita and Armory Park will be really beneficial.
So Justin has been engaged for both of those parks, and he's part of the discussions of what's needed. Plus, Armory is under Operation Division West, and they've been doing check-ins since Armory has opened, and reporting things have been pretty good so far. And then when Santa Rita opens, Captain Wine from Operation
Team One.
I always get confused. Operation South, right? Yeah. Division South, Team One. They're also going to be committed with Justin. Justin said every single day somebody will be at Santa Rita when it opens.
Well, I think this is a very good idea. Armory Park, we know, is a little bit of a problem, but Santa Rita is going to be the big question mark. I think the opening is going to be a test. If we can control, the situation from day one, then I think, the result will be really, positive. But I think we really need to stay on top of it from the first day of the reopening. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the intention. To apply a lot of activity and engagement and presence so that it is a positive experience.
I think it's very good. I think it's very good.
Plan.
And I'm glad to hear about Mark for Reed Park. A lot of folks in the Colonia Solana are, very anxious, So hopefully those four CSOs, will reduce the anxiety level, as long as they're visible, I think this is really important,
Yeah, and they go at different times of the day, and I'm working with the lieutenant from Operation Midtown on how he wants that information communicated out to the different neighborhoods. So we're working now on kind of coming up with that, and once the city manager's office has approved it, then we'll be sending it out to the neighborhood associations.
Excellent.
Thank you, Maurice. Have you considered Gospel Rescue Mission also as a partner?
I know that Justin does work with them. I don't know what days they go out or what their outreach is like, but I can find out and let you know.
Thanks. Let's see.
Actually, I do have a question. Do you think these two PD officers would be interested in actually coming to a neighborhood association meeting just to hear firsthand what people are experiencing?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They will come. So when this is over. At Midtown, it's Lieutenant Jorgensen. He's the new lieutenant there. I know he just recently went to the Alvernon Neighborhood Association meeting, and it didn't time right for Danny to go with him, but they talked about attending the next one together. So he's definitely open to that, and it might be a good way for Danny to also join, because then that brings some awareness. So
great, happy
to connect you with him.
Okay, that'd be great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Is that all your parks?
Was that all?
You want more? That was a lot of slides.
I know, that was a lot. I know, you guys have been super busy with trying to navigate all of the issues that...
Yeah.
But it was one
of the
problem.
So let me know.
Yeah.
And we can definitely chat through that one too then.
Right.
Depending. I mean, I know of one that we are working on directly with Board 5.
Tomorrow.
Going tomorrow.
Okay.
But that wasn't in this particular one because we were looking at stuff. So there is a consideration that some of these parks have a nexus of proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And a concern of traveling amongst. And so that's why getting the same people to go out and provide resources, then they can help to build the relationships. And maybe that is then what helps for services to be accepted.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I've never seen a person moving from one park to another park.
Right. Yeah, I know this person. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good.
Straight over to the bike path at the river.
So the next...
I just wanted to say about Enza Park, there's a lot of new stores that opened up on Speedway and Stone. And I'm just wondering whether maybe Parks and Rec should become proactive as far as creating a contact, okay, with those folks. For the longest time, there was nothing happening there. It was, except for, vendors, selling selling carpets. That was about the size of it. And now there's a vibrant community over there. So, again, like I said, I think it would be really beneficial if Parks and Recs was to, you know, start, you know, communication with those vendors and see what happens, you know. And it's it can only be, you know, beneficial. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Maurice.
In my humble opinion.
Okay. So we have 10 minutes to talk about budget and revenue strategies.
So this was Maurice's item from last month. So we, in August, we will have the comparator budget available to discuss. On the day that agenda materials needed to go out, we were still going back and forth on the final report. So this was more around Maurice's comment last month, wanting to talk about what is the department going to be doing to try to get support, do fundraising, the subcommittee alignment. Right, Maurice?
Yes, and I want to say that I've been watching recently the marketing which was offered by Parks and Recs through, among other sites, the City of Tucson weekly newsletter, and I'm very impressed. Okay, you know, there is a tool, an existing tool in Parks and Recs, which, you know, I don't know if it's Sierra Boyer or a combination of a bunch of folks here that actually are very good, okay, at promoting events. So I think this is very good. Okay, I think that we should get those people together and give us a hand as well. Okay, as far as what do you think could be, you know, new revenue lines that, you know, could bring some cash to make up for, you know, lost revenue, okay, lost grants, okay, lost funding. And so I was thinking about that, and I think we have a promoting culture which is within Parks and Recs, which is really, really, really good. Some good people there. I think we need to ask those people their ideas as well. I noticed that we haven't spoken to Parks and Recs yet. Okay, I know went into the subject a few months ago, saying that, you know, a recreation center should be really cool community center, and we should do something with them. And I'm still thinking that way. Okay, we have a resource there which is untapped, mostly. Okay. We're getting into the, you know, the Christmas season. You know, Christmas happens, you know, now. Okay, now's the time we need to get ready. What do I mean by that? Okay, should we maybe, you know, offer some farmers market, okay, in each one of those rec centers, okay, you know, to raise some revenue? Should we? We have a list of vendors that usually shows up at, you know, at Reed Park, you know, events and all that. Should we contact those folks and tell them, look, we're going to get, you know, here's a calendar of, you know, various farmers markets we're going to have in our rec centers. Do you want to be part of it? And, you know, we have a schedule, we have rates, okay? You could book in advance, you know. Again, like I said, you know, let's think in terms of, you know, bringing money in, because, you know, when I hear the folks, you know, in the therapeutic pool, program, you know, needs to find another 5 minutes extra, you know, to their hours and all that. And you know, Amory Park Rec Center is now only open 5 days a week. Okay. And so we need some money. Okay. According to the various discussions that we had previously, it looks like, you know, the increases that we've run through the budget this year will make up for some of the budget shortfall that we had last year, but definitely not cover the whole thing. So I think we need to be persistent in our efforts. Okay. I am very optimistic about this, because I see everybody is really focused on this, and I think this is really important. But again, like I said, my discovery of the promoting culture of Reed Park, I think, is great. Okay. We have some good people there. We need to put everybody on the job. Okay. I have an idea box. What do you think we should promote to make some money? And see what everybody has to say about it. We know we want to do some fundraising. Fine. Okay. There's a million ways to go about it, and I think we should go a million ways about it. That's my 2 cents for now.
So if I could share just I appreciate the idea. The problem with a million different ways to go about it is sometimes it's really hard to get focused or measure success. But I did, you know, Greg and I chatted a little and talked through like what we have started to see is a trend of where we have external entities or residents who are willing to pick up the task of fundraising. If you recall, I think 2 meetings ago, we had the group from Wagging Tails Dog Park at Lincoln, and they were willing to do the fundraising for the improvements and how they wanted to see that park to move forward with irrigation and then some weed management, right? Mm-hmm. Just last week, Jasmine and I were on a call with a local Rotary Club that's interested in fundraising and applying for a grant to provide shade over a playground. Empire Cactus Little League split costs with us to put a shade and do fertilization? Or did they pay for the shade? So
bleachers.
In my mind, that's really the ideal path. It's a sustainable path for us to identify where we probably do need reinvestment. Certainly we're applying for grants. We did just recently, in addition to Estevan Park, we also applied for a new playground at Balboa Park and shade structures over the basketball courts at Santa Rita and Pueblo Gardens Park to the Tahana Autumn. So those are definitely ways and sustainable ways for us to partner or to identify funding streams that can help us. And then I'm working with these, my boss, Assistant City Manager Christina Swallow, on a program that would allow volunteers to maybe actually do some of the work in parks, but we provide the supplies. So working through what that looks like, what would be the threshold, and then how do we measure that for success? And then John has been doing some estimations around what does it cost us to maintain a newer playground, you know, recharge the wood chips, because I've been talking with my boss as well about the possibility of an adopt-a-playground program. And it really is a pretty sustainable amount of money. But then, you know, it could say this playground is sponsored by Pima Paint Center or whatever it is. And they annually help us to assume the cost of like minor repairs and recharging the wood chips. So, you know, taking in all the feedback from the subcommittee, but then trying to now push it into a means that allows us to be sustainable. And then Kelsey, who is one of our public information folks, is currently photographing a lot of our reservable spaces to try and promote those. So that's in line with what Maurice is talking about, from the COPA to Kennedy Fiesta to indoor rooms that are available that we can maximize. Part of what is going to restrict us is, of course, available hours, but we're trying to see if we can figure out a way to have hours that are money that is set aside to sustain or allow after hours activities to happen to generate revenue there. So all of that, I would say, is on track for this fiscal year, and we can certainly continue to track it and report to you where we've had successes. But some of what we lost in terms of in the department, we have full-time positions on hold. No amount of revenue coming in is going to unstick that, because that's what the city manager committed as part of the adoption of the budget. And there's also non-perm money that is on hold too. So I think it's more, how do we focus on where we do have the opportunity to try and partner up with the public on these opportunities? And I think that it was great with Empire, because they are actually users of the park. They saw where their users, their kids could benefit from additional shade, and then they invested in it. So if you hear of anybody else that's passionate about stuff like that, let us know, because we would love to partner with them.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, I think I think we're going to be...
Kathy had her hand up, so we'll let Kathy talk and then you.
Thank you. There were really some excellent ideas, and in concordance, like with the Adopt a Playground program, I mean, many of the friends of societies, and they have different intentions and different expertises, but many of them are also 501c3s, and that they would have that opportunity to, help with particular things, you know, like adopt this picnic table or this parking lot or this set of bathrooms or whatever. You know, the witch covering, whatever, you know, is appropriate. But that would be another place, all the friends of.
Yes, for sure. And certainly we've got really passionate friends groups and it's interesting. The Friends of Santa Rita is our first group that's really more programmatic focused.
Okay.
And then we have our Friends of Danny Lopez, Friends of Rio Vista, Friends of Fort Lowell. I was like, don't leave one out. that are very much environmental, passionate on that. And that's what's great, is that we have all those different passions that are represented.
And it gives a different avenue for people to, you know, that buy-in can be really important.
And right? Councilmember Dahl also mentioned possibly trying. Yeah, right. And he's been trying to advocate, too, for stuff to be stood up for the benefit of parks.
Yeah, good. I talked to Lane about Friends of Ward 1, but it hasn't gone anywhere.
All right. It starts with a conversation.
Because I want Archer.
Okay, Maurice.
Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to say that I think we're going to be very successful. Okay. And, you know, it's not going to be one way only. Okay. Like I said previously, like you mentioned also previously, Lena, it's going to be a million ways. Okay, this is how we're going to do it. Remember, okay, when we have presidential election, okay, a lot of people give $10. Yeah, there's a few of them that give $50 million, but the huge majority gives $10. Let's go that way. Okay, it's easier to get $10 from 50,000 people than $50 million from five guys. Okay, so I was thinking also is, you know, you go, Lena, you go to city meetings every, I guess, week or every so often, where I'm sure you are confronted with all the council person from Ward 1 through Ward 6. Okay. I think that we should get every ward in the city involved in fundraising. Okay. It doesn't cost them anything to put a little ad in their weekly online bulletin asking for, you know, please contribute something to Parks and Rec. This is for everybody. And I'm really, really happy, okay, that, you know, we created new playgrounds. I think it's really important. We need to take care of our youth. But at the same token, we have people, you know, a whole bunch of seniors. And if you listen to statistics, as we go along, there's going to be more and more seniors, you know, come, you know, around. We need to take care of those folks were treated in a way that our budget was no longer sufficient to cover their needs. Now, seniors' life is not only, you know, looking for, you know, a splash pad in the summer, it's also in the winter, you know, a place to go, okay? And we have those rec centers. We're sitting on tens of million dollars of real estate. I know, okay, if we put our minds together, we should be able to bring our budget back to what it was, you know, before the current administration, federal administration cut all those grants, okay, and go back to our previous cares, okay, for, again, like I said, our seniors. Let's not forget, at some point or another, we're going to be seniors, so if we don't take care of ourselves, nobody will, okay?
We're going to be seniors.
Thank you, Maurice. Next, we have reports and announcements. Parks and Rec commissioners, do you have any comments or announcements? Kathy, do you have it?
No. I do have one announcement. I'd like to talk a little bit because it seems to be involved with everything that's coming up right now in this meeting. Is that July is Disability Pride Awareness Month. And so we have one in four adults who have some kind of disability. And as you get older, you're going to have more than that. And if you're lucky enough to have one disability, you're probably lucky enough to have three. And so this means 70 million people are dealing with this. And I think Disability Pride Month is about inclusivity. It's about not carrying a load of shame for asking for help or for just existing in a way that works for you. Equal access, belonging, community, disabilities can be very unpredictable. Sometimes people can be great. Sometimes they can be not great. They can be invisible disabilities. I've been dealing with that for most of my life, and it's a very expensive as well. You know, the out-of-pocket costs for a lot of disabilities are very, very difficult. And if there are two or three things that are working for you, you can be guaranteed they're going to try to take two of those things away from you. And so we've been seeing that going on here. People are struggling. They're cash poor when they're dealing with disabilities. And, you know, when you have one or two things that make your life work, it is terrifying if you cannot afford these things anymore. So I'm just hoping that we can be more aware and a little less ableist in our thinking whenever possible, because it is very easy to be ableist when you can open a pill jar that you don't even need when someone else can't even get them open. And it takes time and energy and a lot to navigate to do this. And so the more that Parks and Rec can do to help, we do a lot, but we need to be doing more. Thank you.
Yay. Absolutely. Thank you. Maurice, did you have any other announcements?
Because you want to talk to Laura.
Well, yes.
You did talk
about first of all, I want to apologize to the fact that I did not mention we need to increase our help to the disabled folks. Manu is 100% right. You know, I was talking about, you know, elder folks, you know, senior citizens. Part of being a senior citizen is that you're not as healthy as you used to be. So it's a form of disability in a way. So, again, like I said, I didn't speak about it, and I'm sorry I did not. And I want to make a point of emphasizing that what we need to, again, bring income, not only for our elders, but also for disabled people, okay, because this is where we are. This is the mission of Parks and Recs, okay. On another note, I mentioned it earlier during this conversation. I just want to say that, you know, the job that was done at Armory Park was admirable, okay. It's a big success, okay. The whole community is extremely happy about what we did, okay. It was a little bit of a shot in the dark. Okay, it took, you know, a couple of years to get the planning together. Okay, it was not easy. You know, everybody was afraid that, you know, that new van shell was going to look anything but a van shell, and what was it going to look like? Turned out to be gorgeous. It turned out to be beautiful. Okay, and again, like I said, I need to thank Parks and Recs, Lena Hamway, and all the crews. You guys did a great job. Okay, we appreciate that.
Thank you. Kathy. Yes, I just wanted to bring up one thing, and we might need to talk about it another time, but just about the availability of pro bono assistance in terms of ecological planning for the parks, because we do have expertise in a number of the Friends groups. We have expertise that can be tapped at certain parts of the university, believe it or not, because there's all those grad students who do resilience environmental projects, and they all need projects. And because they're 21 years old, they actually – you know, are kind of interesting, the kind of projects that they involve and get done. It might be fun because some of them will end up being, you know, future employees, you know, too. But that using our networks and, you know, allowing the science and the environmental community to have some help with the ecological planning. I'm particularly interested, of course, in, you know, what kind of trees and plants happen and how they get maintained, and I don't even want to talk about pesticide use yet, but all those things I think are really important, and we have a lot of expertise in town that we can tap.
I'm interested in how to get water.
Actually, I've been in contact with some university students,
right,
regarding El Pueblo Neighborhood Center and doing osteoporosis, building our bones for our seniors, and they want to meet and take a tour of El Pueblo Senior Center and the facilities over there to see how they can help.
Mr. Norris will be happy to help.
Good.
Is it like a program that they do for free? Or?
Yes, they're students and they're doing a project. And they really want to help educate people our age and how to build up our bones without having to take medication, but do it through weightlifting and Tai Chi and all these other ways to do it without medication. So they're working on that.
Laura, I have one minor question. In your August presentation about budget and resources, was that going to include the next fee structure conversation?
It was a response. Manon wanted to see the last 3 years at a divisional level compared.
Okay. So when do we hear about the next fee structure?
So we talked about fees in May.
Mm-hmm.
And then June. If you want, we can revisit fees again. But they were adopted June 9th. We're not going to be looking at a new set of fees probably till 2028.
Because I didn't understand that they were already announced for the fall yet. I hear that Therapeutic Pool was announced for Saturday, but I didn't hear that everything else was announced. Yes.
Hold on. Let me look at the, I don't want to misspeak. I don't know if in the release that was sent with KidCo after school registration begins July 25th, but in our newsletter, all of our leisure classes that are scheduled for the fall, they go live in early July for then the registration to commence.
Okay.
But I could check and see if Sierra had forwarded over press release or not. It's not listed here, so that's why I'm not sure.
I think the leisure class one was posted and was sent out.
Okay. And we can check. Yeah. But
the pool one.
Pools, we're still building out how the September 1st lap swim is going to run. So there'll be some educational materials that come out about that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Happy points.
Yeah, let's go down the row, the line. Are you doing it or John doing it?
In the parks maintenance, working through the summer, trying to get through the heat, but of course, these beautiful rains are bringing some issues, but some great things as well. They bring some, very green turf, which is great, but they take down some of our trees. So we're just working through some of that right now and just trying to stay ahead of it, stay ahead of some of our pruning to ensure that we lose the least amount of trees as possible. Other than that, going through it on our sports maintenance team. Looks like Paul already hopefully will be ready to open up the sports wheels to user groups here in August, which would be great. Still working through the complexes. Lincoln's currently closed for renovation, as well as Rudy. They're doing some rest periods out there for the user groups to get the turf ready. Working through our parks, maintaining restrooms, trying to keep them clean and keep things rolling.
Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Like last July, I know it was awful. We lost so many trees last July. So is it not, the winds don't seem like they've been as bad. Is it a little bit better this year?
I haven't seen as much loss in the parks, as we did last year. We're seeing a lot more, just limbs breaking, some weaker things, some denser trees are losing some limbs. So, we haven't had to do a whole lot of removals yet. But the season. So I think we're in better shape as of right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can maintain that. So.
All right. Thank you.
On the lighter side, so summer explosion for KidCo was July 10th. It was awesome. I mean, I'll let the bosses give their rave reviews about it, but it was a great time. So summer KidCo, we had 976 kiddos in the program. That was kind of nice. But it doesn't stop there. As mentioned before, July 25th is the start of registration for school year KidCo. We'll be in 19 sites. Registration, or I should say Cherry, which is Sunnyside School District, there they start July 29th. St. Joe's starts August 4th. And TUSD starts August 6th. And as previously mentioned, a lot of those sites will fill up in 5 minutes. So all KidCo, all the time, just doesn't stop. And it's been great.
We had, for our swim lessons, we had 3,167 kids go through our swim lessons this season in all four sessions. So that's just individual participants. We had 14 kids in adaptive swim lessons this season over at the ARC for their adaptive swim lessons. We are set to run a training to have 14 additional AquaFit instructors and 4 to 5 more adaptive instructors for classes. Our total rescues to date for June and July is 56, which is one more than we officially had last year. So we're doing better there. It's a good win, right? We're 100% success rate, which is what we always aim for.
Please explain that a little more. We know that. So rescue meaning we had no
drowned. No completed drowning.
And then I was going to brag on my team a little bit because part of our certification, we're certified through StarGuard, and then we pay for additional audits that we have every year. So they come out for us twice a season over the summer. We get one usually in June, one in July. We just had one last week, and it was the best audit we've had since becoming StarGuard certified. So the best you can get is 5 stars. And this last time, and you have to remember we have 19 locations with 260 employees at them. So to have consistency takes a lot of Tylenol and a lot of energy. But we got individually, they got 7 5-star reviews, which gave us an overall audit of 4 stars, which is really good. So they've been doing a really great job this summer.
But you have 15-year-olds.
They're between 15 and...
Gee, Paula.
Oh, wait. They're like between 15 and 65. So we have a lot of...
I think what's really fascinating, too, is the large majority of the summer workers are brand new workers, right? Bring them in, train them, teach them. And then hope that they remember all those skills. But they also do 4 hours a month of in-service to embed that within them. So I think it speaks to the efficacy of our certification program that we decided to embrace.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know they've been working hard.
They're doing great. What do you have, boss?
Well, I will tell you, too, that with StarGuard, it's almost unheard of for a city of 19 pools or 20 pools to get a 5-star rating. It's usually a one site where the supervisor's there all the time, and it's rarely a municipality that ever gets a 5-star. So it's a testament to Sarah and her staff and the soups and the specialists to what a tremendous job they did. Archer Splash Pad is about in its 6th week. I think the target, and I hate giving targets because I know how that goes. I won't do it then. In the fall. How's that?
They're as fluid as water.
The bees have been doing that. Those steps, one's been moving along pretty well. Santa Rita, we're building out the equipment room right now for the splash pad. I was there yesterday, and Pool by Designs is putting that one together. Sunnyside, we're redoing the plaster there and the wall, but that's going to take the entire fall. I can't see that opening until May of next year.
What? Not till May?
Probably not.
Don't say it.
We'll see.
You mean November? Is that an option?
I don't know. We'll see.
We've passed the school window for youth.
Oh, for youth.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah. But we're talking, because usually for the public, we wouldn't open that up again until the spring. The swim team, they're done by November 9th. So we'll be working that out for those.
And you sent out the attendance report, right?
Yes.
So y'all have that.
Sure.
But that's awesome.
So thank you, Paul. Okay. So the kids will have to still go to Lindsay Douglas.
Yeah, that's the plan. There's no way they're going to get it done through the high school season.
Thank you.
Okay.
Aaron?
A few more recreation updates. Just came from El Pueblo today. They had their big senior luau, which was nice. They had about 50 seniors there. Teriyaki chicken, rice, pasta salad. It was really good. I know. Arts and Crafts Fair, the vendor applications are due next Friday. We already have about 140 to review and go through, so we're expecting to have a good turnout and a lot of different options for that fair that's in November. Friend of Marty Berman and the Balboa Heights Neighborhood Association will be putting on their back-to-school bash next Friday at the Marty Berman Center from 5 to 7. In June, we started the cooling centers at most of our bigger sites. In June, we had 406 cooling center users, which is an increase of last summer of 360 that we had last June. So we're going to continue that program through the end of September. And then, as Dean said, our KITCO program is wrapping up, so we will be looking to shut down our centers, staggering them in July, August, and even early September for their deep cleaning. This week, the Therapeutic Rec Center's closed for their cleaning. Next week, Archer, Cherry, Ori, Santa Rosa Freedom, and El Rio will be closing for 3 days each for some cleaning. And then Donald Legs will be closed the whole week, Monday through Saturday, for their deep cleaning. And then lastly, the softball and volleyball adult leagues for the sports unit will be starting in August. Their registration wrapped up, so they'll be having softball leagues Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and then volleyball on Tuesdays at Randolph.
A little bit busy.
So as you heard, registration starts July 25th for programs for the fall. KITCO After School being a large portion of that. That rolls out the new approved discount program. We've currently assisted 340 households transition onto the new discount program. So we're hoping come Saturday they'll be good to register for their KITCO. All the other great things. Within 5 minutes.
Within 5 minutes. Fast typers.
I would say, since most of them have already spoken on most of our programs for recreation and aquatics, I think a lot of our things that I'd like to just say is we're focusing on a lot of trainings, internal, external, whether it's HR, us creating something, or some of the things that we provide to our staff, whether it's leadership or just, you know, some other way of talking about different policies and processes and procedures that we do right now and focusing on those. I was really impressed, especially, and then, you know, our trainings with which Sarah brought up, StarGuard and having the in-service, seeing that now within aquatics and only being here for a few weeks now. Really impressed by the 56 rescues that they had when I saw that number. And I think that's, you know, something really impressive to know that, you know, we're, you know, you have someone from whether it's a 15-year-old to 65, right? Someone that's up on the stand and, you know, making sure that none of those, we've had 100%, you know, rate on that. So I think a lot of end of the summer going on, celebrations with Summer Explosion, with our KITCO Explosion and some of the other sites, various sites doing their own little things for the summer programs that we have going on. And then just, again, working on, since I've been here, working on like some of our agreements, focusing on those and new policies and procedures and things that we need to focus on. So.
Hello, Jen. I'm not here for capitalizing aid, but two that I'll highlight are the Himmel Pool Splash Pad. We'll be going under construction very soon. And improvements to the Reed Park Demeester Outdoor Performance Center will kick off here pretty soon. So those are a couple of projects I'm sure have a lot of eyes watching. That's it.
I don't know that I really necessarily have a lot. We are, as Becky kind of mentioned before, been doing a lot of partnership with Ward 5 and the Tucson Rams at Rudy Garcia. They're a very large football cheerleading group that's out of a park that's been struggling a bit. So tomorrow night we're doing a engagement session with them to kind of talk through investments that some investments that are actively happening and will be continuing to happen at that park through the spring there, which I think long-term will bring about a lot of benefits.
for them as a team. And then Santa Rita, just we're hyper-focused on that opening, getting everything ready, and lining up different entities to be present. And it is Parks and Rec Month. So that's the other celebration of July. And so we've done three lunches so far. Andy leads the employee engagement team. But then Dean and Adrian, John have all volunteered. Lissa and Jen, so a lot of staff that have leaned in to cook, get supplies, show appreciation out to the staff, which I think is really important. There's so much going on, and they're working. They don't always get to be at the same place at the same time. So four dates were set up so that when they could make it, they could go. So we have one more next week. And I heard today was very well attended. So it's awesome to see that, because sometimes even a free burger, you have to nudge them a little, but glad that they're showing up, because I think it's cool when someone in parks, someone in pools, and someone in a center may not see each other often. So, and this today was at Archer. So yeah.
Where's the last one going to be?
You know, yeah. Why, do you want a burger?
Yeah.
10 to 1, we'll be there.
I say 10 to 1, yeah. Come on down.
Not true. That's so the emailed information is what we all got, right? Okay.
Yeah, we're just kind of doing that to kind of track, like, what we are, how, what we're communicating out and sharing out. So this is the first time we're doing it. We'll refine.
Okay. Commission future agenda items. Our next meeting is August 26th. Does anybody have anything they want to put on the future agenda item?
I would like to know what we can do about getting that pool temperature up for the therapy pool to a therapy pool temperature, would be 2 degrees. I do remember them listing that for years, and they've stopped doing that. That's a difference. I'd like to understand more about that.
So you want an update just on the whole aquatic
is
center?
Is there air conditioned?
There's ventilation.
But is it air conditioned inside or just ventilation? Just air.
It's just ventilation.
And they evidently had a new heater already. So, yeah, I would like to know that. And then the other thing, we did all receive a letter from the Alliance for Ecological Park Management. And as far as, like, partnering and getting free help from friends of and things like that, they had asked if they could give some pro bono help on the new citywide park master plan in the future. And I wondered if that's something we could just discuss, if that's a possible yes or no. And the other thing that I am interested in, and I don't know exactly how to do this, but, you know, my heart's breaking for these folks that can't afford these classes. And I'm really unhappy about hearing about a 15-year-old waving shoes around. My mother, who's a PhD in comparative literature, English and poetry, went and got multiple degrees, some of them at Edith Ball. She flew all the way here from Santa to get training on how to help people rehabilitate in the water. And I feel like she could do a better job over Zoom teaching these folks than what I've been hearing about here. So, I mean, I'm very upset about it. I would like to see them, I mean, if we can't do anything for this year, I'd like to see if we can find some partnerships that can help them get discounts, because especially the people who've been doing this for a very long time and need it desperately. So however we can look at that in the future together to maybe figure out that we don't end up in this situation again next year, that would be fantastic. Anybody else?
Do you have anything?
No, I had some of those
same issues
going.
Yeah. Maurice, did you have anything for future agenda item?
Yeah, I think that we need to schedule a budget revenue strategies discussion. Okay, I think this needs to recur on a regular basis until we get our house together. Okay. I was thinking while everybody was talking over here, but we need to come up with a catchword. Years ago, if you guys remember, There used to be, you know, a famous phrase, you know, support your local sheriff. Remember when that used to be all over? You know, well, I think at this point in time, maybe we could come up with something like, you know, support your local Parks and Recs, you know, and make it a campaign out of it. Let's, you know, use the dynamics of advertising. Okay. But at any rate, as far as, future agenda items, yes, I strongly suggest that we should schedule a budget and revenue strategies just like we did today.
Thank you. I want a blower so I can take care of our park. That's all I need. It's hard to sleep at all. But, if you're going to have volunteers, I want a blower to help. Got one laying around. And you can bubble wrap me. I'm like, yeah, because I want to trim some of those trees that are breaking too, but Laura won't let me.
I ask
permission.
And I do have a question on the moratorium on naming parks again. Yeah. What's going on with that?
It's sitting with the city manager's office. I did check in today. They're still reviewing the draft AD. So it's not of our hands. It's not, and it's not, to be clear, the AD is not just about parks. It's citywide assets.
So we don't touch that one. I mean, there's
nothing has, even the ones that we approved back early this year, I've been told we won't be scheduling those until September to move forward. So the whole program has been in hold status right now.
And the only person who can influence city manager would be mayor and council.
Yeah.
We can.
Right. So it's a process right now where the city attorney and the city manager are going to have to land on where the final AD language will be.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
So next meeting, August 26th. Here, same place, same time. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
You have a motion to adjourn.
And a second. Always in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
So what should we do?